Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valleys of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right.
He'll make them right. Listen.
And the God of the good times,
wow,
is still God in the bad times.
Hallelujah.
God of the day
is still God of the night.
Is still God in the night.
Still God in the night. Hey, I like that, don't you? I like that. We're going to come back to that song at the end of the program and let you hear it as we go off the air. We're using a different camera today. The other one has a little delay in it, and we'll get it fixed this week. Got somebody lined up. Hey, welcome to this broadcast. Welcome to this telecast. Broadcast and telecast. And our theme today, I am excited about it. I'm here to tell you I am excited about it. It is the magnificent Christ in all of His glory. The magnificent Christ in all of His glory. I have made a commitment before my Father that this year of 2015, I am going to exalt Jesus Christ with everything that's inside of me. Now, I'll deal with all kinds of subjects, but at the theme of them, at the heart of them, is going to be the exalting of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're going to talk in a little bit about Duke University here in Durham, North Carolina. Oh, they made some decisions. They tried to reverse them, but they didn't reverse them. They just made it look better for themselves. We'll talk about that. You don't want to miss it. You really don't. And I'm here to tell you, we live in an hour. If ever Jesus Christ must be the Lord of all, we are there. If you have not made Him Lord of everything, I pray that God will help you today, before this telecast, broadcast is over, that you'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of all. He cannot be Lord at all if He is not Lord of all. He will not be a part-time Savior. He will not be a part-time Redeemer. He will not be your part-time Master or the one you part-time worship. He has to be the center of your life. He has to take over. And that's what being born again is really all about. It's the turning of one's life over to Christ and the surrendering of one's life for His glory and His honor and to live by His wonderful roadmap. You know, this Bible is a roadmap. Now, I'm a little closer to you with this other camera, and I like my studio camera better, but it's got a delay, and I'll let you see that in a little bit. But I want you to look at this Bible, the book of Revelation. Have you ever read the first chapter of the book of Revelation? Did you know? Let me tell you now. You got to hear me. There are 40 titles titles, word pictures of Jesus Christ in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Have you ever wondered why the world hates the book of Revelation so desperately? Have you ever wondered why liberal churches cannot stand the book of Revelation? Have you ever heard and wondered why people in false doctrines of all descriptions always bypass the book of Revelation? Because it centers in Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of this book. 40 word pictures of Jesus Christ in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Now those 40 pictures, those 40 word pictures are then repeated over and over throughout the 22 chapters so that the book of Revelation becomes that grand book. I call it the masterpiece. The masterpiece, and it really is the masterpiece. Can I tell you something? Every doctrine of the Bible and of the Christian faith, you will find it reflected in the book of Revelation. Every doctrine. Not one doctrine missing. The Trinity, it's in the first verses, about the first five verses of the first chapter. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And someone says, did Jesus have to shed his blood to save us? Well, let me read to you. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, that's the Christ I want to glorify this year. I want to show him to you so that when you see the Son of God on that cross, you remember that's a God-man hanging on that cross, a God-man, both God and man. He never ceased to be God. Never ceased to be God. From the moment of conception in the womb of Mary until finally crucified and resurrected, he never ceased to be God. But he was also man. He was also man. Now, somebody's calling me during the broadcast. That's amazing. When people call me during the radio broadcast, that means Mike Switzer is not listening to me on the radio, and he's calling me on the phone. Mike, I'm missing you. Bless your heart, man. You know, it is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. It is so wonderful to have a telecast like this. Hey, I got a letter. I won't read it all to you, but this is from Marion, Illinois, and this dear lady sent me the nicest birthday card. Monday is my birthday, 79 years. And I like what she said. It is so great now, not only to be able to listen to your broadcast, your telecast, and open Bible dialogue each Saturday, but also now to be able to watch you. I watch the broadcast. Hey, thank you so much there. Thank you so much there, Sandra. Thank you, Sandra. You know, I appreciate that. I do love the fact that being able to watch the program is having an incredible effect all over the world. I mean, you see a man's face, you know what he's made out of. You know whether he's real or whether he's just a big put-on. Do you understand that? Well, I'm not a put-on. I'm real. I'm not bragging on nothing. It's Jesus. It's Christ. He's my everything. He's my Lord, my Master, my Savior. And it's a joy. And I do regret you being so close to me. That may bother some of you. Let's go over here to this other camera. Now, here's the other main camera. Can you see the little distinction of a little, just not quite synced together? My words and my voice are just a little bit apart. Not much. Not much. Maybe I ought not to worry about it, but I like it to be as perfect as it is possible to make it, okay? So we'll go back to the other telecast, our other camera. Now listen, I want you to read this Bible with me today. Hey, you see the sanctuary in the background? That's beautiful picture. You can only see a little bit of the wonder. It's 20-some feet high and 20-some feet wide. It's stained glass, and I built it with my hands. I built it with my hands. I put every stick of the dividers in there and built it right up to the ceiling, 20-some feet high. It was a delight to build it. I love doing carpentry. Jesus was a carpenter, you remember. And so I love being a carpenter. And that makes me just a little more like him. And this gray hair, you know, he's the Ancient of Days. And I guess I'm becoming a little bit Ancient of Days myself. But that's okay. Let's go to the Bible, okay? I want you to see the magnanimous Christ. And I want some calls from you about Jesus. I really do. I want some calls about how absolutely splendid he is. Magnificent is the best word. That word has got a hold of me the last days. The magnificent Christ, the Son of the living God. He's everything. Do you understand? Let me read a little bit to you. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the first word of the Hebrew language and the first letter of the Hebrew language and the last letter of the Hebrew language. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he names those seven churches. And I turned, John said, to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. That may be the one thing that I'm really like the Lord, but I tell you right now, I'm striving to be like him in every degree. My mind, my thoughts, my everything. I want to be like him. I want him to be the center of all my life. I really do. I want you to make him the center of all your life. We're all equal. We all have the same old nature that Adam gave us. We all have to pray regularly. We have to depend on the blood and the grace of God regularly. You never get so dedicated to Christ that you don't need to depend on that shed blood. You understand me? You never get so dedicated to Christ, you don't need to depend on that shed blood. It says his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His eyes were as a flame of fire. If you should see Jesus in your flesh, you would not without a question fail to fall on your face, smitten in such a grandeur of his presence, and so unworthy, so awesome is his glory, that you cannot be in his presence without a wonderful sense of the fear of God. Not a kind of fear that drives you into torment, but a kind of fear that just grips you with reverence. How holy and wonderful he is. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Now, folks, I want you to get some idea of this magnificent Redeemer. I want us together to come to a sense of awe before him that causes us to live in a fear of God. Not again, a kind of revulsive fear, but a kind of awesome fear, a kind of reverence fear, a kind of great sense of his glory, and how unworthy any one of us are, any one of us. We have nothing of ourselves to make us worthy of his presence. Everything that makes us worthy of his presence is his grace, his holiness, his divine redemptive power by the blood. Only by the blood can you for a moment consider yourself worthy of being close to him. His blood has made you worthy. His blood has made you worthy, but never apart from the blood. Do you understand? And now you can go boldly to the throne of grace because he loves you. He cares for you. He will minister to you. He will meet the need of your life because you are important. Now, how many of you will set it on your heart to glory in Christ this year? Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Now, not just the cross, but the cross with the Son of God upon it. The Son of God, the God-man is what made that cross glorious. There were many crosses and many people who died by the cross, but only one died in redemptive power to save you from the guilt of sin and to make you one of His children. Hey, friend, I care about you today, and I want you to draw near to the cross. I want Jesus to become the center of your life. Now, I'm going to send you a booklet today. It has a big hallelujah on the front of it. I love that. A big hallelujah. If there's anything ought to fill your soul with hallelujah, is you come to know Him. You surrender your life to Him. You let His blood wash you from your guilt and from your sins. Make a new creature out of you. Write your name in the Lamb's book of life. You know, that's what happens when you're born again. He writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. That's not a cheap thing. It's not just religiosity. It's not just easy believism. No, no, no. I don't believe in easy believism. I believe you've got to surrender your life. You've got to take up the cross and follow Him. You've got to turn from the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what the Bible said. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love this world in any degree, more than you love Christ, or even trying to love it equal to your love in Christ, you've turned aside. You're not walking the straight way. And I call on you today to know what it means to be born again, to have an experience. Now, I want to tell you, the reason Jesus is so magnificent, the reason everything I could say about Him is so breathtaking. He's the Lamb of God, the Lily of the Valley, the bright morning star, the Rose of Sharon, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the bread of life, the water of life. There are hundreds names that you can ascribe to Him. As I said, 40 in this one chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, I want to give you a list of these 40 names, picture names of the office of Jesus Christ that's in chapter 1 of Revelation in this booklet that I'm offering you today. All you got to do is grab your phone. You'll get this booklet. You'll have all 40 names. You'll see how they are revealed and manifest in this first chapter of Revelation, and you'll never despair of reading the book of Revelation again. You come to see Jesus as He lives in this entire masterful book of the Bible, the last book of the Bible. You come to see how He's revealed from one end of it to the other, and you will know that it must be a book that's part of your life. You must live with the book of Revelation, just like St. John, and just like Romans, and just like Ephesians, and just like 1st, 2nd Corinthians, back to the Psalms. I'm here to tell you, you must have this book of Revelation in your life. It must become part of you. Now, grab your phone. I want to hear you. The number to call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. And then the toll-free number, I'm sorry, the local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I'm having to be a little more careful to watch this little camera. It's too close on me, and I don't get to move around quite as freely. And so I know you can understand that. I'm trying my best to focus on it because I want to talk to your heart about Jesus. And I want to get you so excited to be in the center of doing His will, that nothing else matters in your life, that everything about you is caught up in Jesus, in Christ, the mighty Savior. Again, this booklet is mine to send you absolutely free. I'm here to tell you, absolutely free. We'll not be begging you for money. No, we will not, I promise you. We send out 2 prophetic news alerts every month to all of our partners, 2 prophetic news alerts. I hear from people all over this country are thanking God for those news alerts. Some can't even give us any money. We don't cut them off because of that. We care about you. We care about you. And so if we can send you this, excuse me, this booklet, excuse me, it will be our joy. it will really be our joy, okay? So grab your phone and call the ladies. They're standing by. My sweetheart wife, she's 80 now, but she's so faithful. She's right out there helping take addresses, and they're just as tender and gentle as they can be. The finest, really. So call those numbers, 1-800-338-7884 or local 704-391-0588. And now I want your questions about the book of Revelation and about Christ. Now, while you're calling, or while you're emailing, okay, I've got some, I think, an email waiting on me. And while you're doing that, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I want to take you to Duke University Chapel in Durham, North Carolina. Now, the Duke University University was started by the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church. And I think some time ago they kind of distanced themselves from it, and I don't blame them, but they are not really that different themselves. Same-sex marriage takes place right there in their chapel. They're dedicated to that. And now they issue this word that as of past Friday, they were going to allow the Muslims to send out their call to prayer from the chapel, from the famous Duke University Chapel, using the bell tower. And they had so much response that they had to back down from that. But let me show you, they only backed down a little bit to satisfy those who were upset. And so they're allowing the Muslims to use their own amplification and to amplify the call to worship. Now, did you know that the call to worship of the Muslims is blasphemous? Blasphemous. Every time they issue their call, they say there is no God but Allah. That's blasphemy. There is no God but Allah. I mean, would they let somebody in America begin to say there is no God but Jehovah? They just despise it when we say something like that. But it's okay for the Muslims to say it. Come on. How can you be so blind? How can you be so completely twisted in your thinking that it's not all right for me to say there's no God but Jehovah, but it's all right for the Muslims to say it, and they're going to say it right there on the university campus at Duke University. Used to be a sacred institution of the Bible for the Methodist Church in their heyday when they were on fire for Christ and for the King. So they backed down, but only enough to try to quieten the adversaries. I read just this week that they literally meet in the chapel, I'm sorry, in the basement of the university. They meet in the basement of the Duke University Chapel, I meant to say. The Duke University Chapel is where they meet, and they issue their call. I went today looking for the call of the Muslims, and they just say there is no God but Allah. I have heard, they said, God has no son. God has no son. I would suggest that's probably true in some places, because there was some word that they're able to change that a little bit, add a word, to take away a word. I'm not sure of all of that. I'm kind of talking as an elementary student on this, but I'm here to tell you that we're dealing with something. When just what happened that happened in Paris, right on the heels of it, the university, Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, would make such a foolish decision. How can you be more dumb is the only word I know to say. How can you be more dumb? Well, let me go here to see what is coming in. And I want to hear from you. Someone said to me the other day that, Reverend Chambers, you notice when you do a program on same-sex marriage, the people are so scared of you, they won't call. I don't think that's true. I think they just don't have an argument. You see, I only go by the Bible. I only go by the Bible. And they don't want me to read these scriptures that are so absolutely blunt and plain. I'm here to tell you, absolutely blunt and plain. Let's take a call. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you know how many word pictures of God are in the Bible.
How many what?
Word pictures.
Well, I do not know. I know there are many, and many of them, I would consider them word pictures of Christ that would probably not be considered that by others, so I do not know. Do you know?
No, I've been circling it in my Bible, and don't have time to count them all up.
Well, you know, I've never took time for that. And you'd have to read the Bible with only that thought in mind. And I've never had really time because I study it. I live in it. But I don't live in it just to count the names. I know the first name that was ever given by God was I Am. Abraham never heard the name of God. Isaac and Jacob never heard the name of God. Nobody ever knew the name of God till Moses came along. And when he was 80 years old, and he was coming back to Egypt, and he saw God in the burning bush, and he said to God, "I want to know your name. I want to know." I wonder how many times that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the people prior to Moses must have said, "I wish I knew the name of our God."
Yeah.
And Moses said, "I got to know your name, God. If I'm going to go down to Egypt and I'm going to look that Pharaoh in the face, I need to know your name." And God said, "I am that I am."
Yeah.
That was the first name. I know there are 40 titles, and these are word pictures of Jesus in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. I'm going to read them in a minute if I get time here.
Yeah.
40 picture words in the first chapter of Revelation.
They're all throughout the Bible.
Sir?
They're all throughout the Bible, too.
I'm not sure what you said. But I agree that the Bible is full of his names. God bless you, brother.
You too, and thank you.
Thank you for calling. We love it when our people call. All right? God bless you. All right, let's take a call. Take a question here. Just yesterday, Friday, January the 16th, the U.S. Supreme Court decided to rule on same-sex marriage and have a decision by June 2015 whether to make marriage between gays, now listen to this, between gays and lesbians couples legal throughout the land. Already, 36 states have legalized gay marriages. The nation is turning into Sodom and Gomorrah. Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. We need all prayer warriors to take action so that the abomination does not pass. Now, I plan to mention this, that the Supreme Court has agreed now to hear this whole idea. And let's pray that God will give some fear of God. Some fear of God to those justices, that they will be afraid to legalize marriage across America, because this could be a momentous decision. It could decide the future of America. It could decide whether we're going down the tube or whether God will spare us a little time as we wait for the rapture. Do you understand? I hope you do. Now grab a phone and call us, 1-800-338-7884. I want to give you this booklet because I want you to get a picture of the glory. I think the greatest thing I could do for my radio and internet audience this year is to give you a sense of awe before the Father, before the Son, and before the Holy Ghost. If I could cause you to have a reverence for God greater and more profound than you've ever had, I would have done the greatest thing, justice, favor to America and the church that I could give. I want to tell you something. There will be no revival in God's church. I'm here to tell you. Listen to this. The single great truth that will revive the church is the glory of Jesus Christ revealed. The single truth that will revive the church and bring us back to revival and do something for our future is to get a new picture of the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That God-man who hung on the tree. That God-man who went into the very Abraham's bosom and walked through that place where the devil had been the master. And he took the keys away from him of death and hell and led those captives out. He didn't go there to preach to the ungodly and the wicked. He went there to lead the saints of God out of Abraham's bosom and to take them with him to glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to tell you, there's so many wonderful things about Jesus in this Bible. He is the absolute image of his Father. I've been reading the book of Hebrews chapter 1 over and over and over. And here's what God said about him. Thou hast loved righteousness, God said, and hated iniquity. This is God talking about his Son. Therefore, God even even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. This is God talking about his Son. Have you read Hebrews chapter 1 recently? Or Revelation chapter 1 this week? I'm going to ask everybody in my audience to read Hebrews chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 1. And next Saturday, have a question in your vocabulary or written down somewhere in your mind to send me and ask me the hardest possible questions you can write about this Jesus. Will you do that? Let me see what I've got here. Happy birthday from Randall Godwin. God bless you with many more birthdays. Keep up the good work of the Lord. I don't know nothing but the good work of God, Randall. I'm going to do it. You know, people say to me, you're 79. Why don't you retire and you and Juanita travel and just do all of these wonderful things together? And I said, I wouldn't go nowhere. I couldn't preach or teach. I wouldn't go nowhere, and this person very close to me just got up and walked out. I wouldn't go nowhere. I couldn't preach or teach. I'm here to tell you, that's all I want to do. I want to tell you it's time, and thank you, Juanita. That's my baby doll. Oh, man, do I love my wife. She's my joy. She's my joy. She's my joy. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, hello. Oh, is it me?
Yeah, it's you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the question was in the Revelation with John, I think one of the elders, the angel said, no one's worthy, or John was in despair because no one was worthy to open the scroll or the seal.
That's Revelation chapter 5, right.
Yes, and then I think the angel said the lion of the tribe of Judah can open the seal. Now, is the lion of the tribe of Judah, is that Jesus Christ?
Oh, yes, that's Jesus Christ. Let me go to that. Revelation chapter 5, one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. God the Father was on the throne, had a book in his hand, a seven-seal scroll, and it was the title deed of the earth. See, that scroll was the title deed of the earth. It was what God himself had apparently written after Adam and Eve had sinned, and he'd kept it in his own possession. Nobody else had ever touched it. And he now pulls out that scroll, and he's got it in his hands on his throne, and the cry goes out, who is worthy to approach the Father and take this seal and open it? And John was weeping. Because nobody was found. John knew. See, he understood the whole business of redemption in the Old Testament. And this had to do with redemption. The redeeming of the earth. The bringing it back to be the possession of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and us saints. See? And so John was weeping. One of the elders said, weep not. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David. Remember, David was told that of his own heritage would come him who would sit on the throne of Israel and rule for 1,000 years. That's Jesus. Absolutely. Hath prevailed. How did he prevail? The God-man on the cross, shedding his blood. That's how he prevailed. And he was able to open the book. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. One of the most gorgeous pictures in the Bible.
Wow, thanks.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
See, I'm talking about the magnificent Christ that God the Father has exalted to his right hand, who is soon coming. I'm going to preach on this tomorrow. This is my sermon for tomorrow. The magnificent Christ in all his glory. The magnificent Christ in all his glory. And I'm going to do, if God will help me, I want people to begin to see who he is.
Great. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. And God bless you. God bless you for giving us a call. You know, it's wonderful. I love it. And all the people out there who listen to this program, thank you. Now listen, you got to hear me. We're having something special tonight. You see the sanctuary behind me? The lights are not on, so it's not really light in there. Didn't want to waste electricity. But I want you to understand, we're having a great service tonight at 6 o'clock. This is our Sunday night service, moved to Saturday night just for this week. Just 1 week, move our Sunday night to Saturday night at 6 o'clock this afternoon, and Miss Emma Mallon from Lexington and her singers, the best as I've ever heard, will be here to sing. And Reverend Joey Yates, my dear brother, my wonderful preacher friend, one of the greatest men of God and gospel preachers there is in America, will be here to preach. 6 o'clock, you don't want to miss it. Paul Creek, tonight, right here, 5110 Tucker C.G. Road. If you don't know, put it in your computer. It'll tell you how to get here. And if your computer's not working, call me. Call us on our number, 704-391-0588. We'll give you direction. Hey, we want you here tonight. We want you here tonight. No service tomorrow night now. This is tonight. Of course, regular service tomorrow morning, right here, Sunday school and preaching. Preaching's at 10 to 11. Till about 12:15, and you'll love a service at Paul Creek. And I'm preaching tomorrow on the magnificent glory of Christ. I can hardly wait. You just heard that caller, and it was to me so indeed beautiful. Let's go here. Gog and Magog. Why is it that I'm not reading good today? Get my glasses up. But some preachers have said that the battle of Gog and Magog on Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the same battle as Revelation 20 after the millennium. After studying these chapters, I see they are two separate battles and completely different times. What do you say, Brother Chambers? You are perfectly right. I don't understand why anybody would confuse the two. They're two distinct apart. In the first battle, it's the Muslim religion that's the key factor in the battle of Gog and Magog. But you go to the battle of Armageddon, and it's the Christian apostate religion, apostate Christianity, that's the main focus of the Antichrist and the battle of Armageddon. So you got one battle that has a key religious component, and that's the Muslim religion. You have another battle that has a key religious component. That's apostate Christianity, apostate religion, Catholicism, the charismatic world, just all of the church world that's apostatized. And there's good people in all of those religious worlds. I mean, everywhere in the world where there's bad religion, you'll find some real saints somewhere ahead in the middle of it. All you got to do to know that is go to Revelation 12, where you have the sun-clothed woman with a man-child about to be born, about to be delivered. That's the church universal, and that's the hidden saints of God within the bosom of that apostate woman who is serving Christ and waiting for the rapture. Oh, man. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Thank you for that good question on the internet. I like that. That keeps me busy. Give us a call now. We'll take your call at 704-391-0588 or 1-800-338-7884. Let me see here. I have a hard time finding. I'm not seeing good today. I don't know why that is, but let me go and just look around. I'm finding everything, I think. Just yesterday, no, that we've already done. Here's a subscriber. That's good. All right, we're waiting for your call. Call us quickly. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. Now, you got to get this booklet. You really have. Hallelujah is the title. Well, that's not the title of the booklet. That's just the first picture you'll see. And I love it. Hallelujah. How about everybody out there saying hallelujah to the Lamb? Would you? Hallelujah to the Lamb. Come on again. Hallelujah to the Lamb. One more time. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I am thrilled for Christ. I am thrilled to know Him. He saved me. Will be 63 years ago in March. 63. I was 16 years old. Could I tell you? I couldn't even read. I was a farm boy. All I knew how to do was plow peat. Daddy couldn't hardly let me on the tractor because I was so reckless. But I could plow peat. I remember those years, and so full of sin, so quick to lie and cheat and steal and cuss and swear. They used to laugh at me at the pool hall because the old men would laugh at this boy that was standing up playing pool and cussing. But Jesus saved me. I didn't know him. I didn't know about him. name. I didn't know one verse of scripture, but God opened the door for me to hear the glorious gospel. And when I heard it, I knew that was for me. And I surrendered that night to Christ, and I've never been the same. I've never wanted to smoke again. I've never wanted to cuss again. I've never wanted to drink. I never had really started drinking bad, not at all. But I was doing things worse than that. And God cleansed me and forgave me, and He'll do it for you. I'm here to witness to you. I want you to be saved. I don't want nobody out there to be lost. Are you hearing me? I don't want nobody out there to be lost. I want you to be saved. I want you to know Jesus. Now, we've got 20-some minutes, and I want to fill it up with glorifying Jesus, magnifying the Son of God, the mighty Lamb of God. And let me tell you, the world is going to hell in a basket. Last night, the news was on about same-sex marriage in North Carolina. And you know what they said? In Mecklenburg County, since that decision in October, one-third of all the marriages have been gays, lesbians, homosexuals. One-third. 500 and some weddings in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this is what I understood. If anybody heard it differently, I tried to find it on the internet and couldn't find it. And so I'm happy to give it to you by memory. 500 and some homosexual lesbian marriages in Mecklenburg County. Maybe that was North Carolina. I sure hope it was. But it said been 500 and some, and 60-some percent of them were women, lesbians. Now, these people are literally being, I'm sorry, but they're being prepared for eternal hellfire. The only place a lesbian or a homosexual, unless they repent, can spend eternity is in the pit of called the lake of fire. That's the only place. Nowhere else. It is one of the most wicked sins on the face of the earth. You talk about blaspheming God. Homosexuals and lesbians are living a blasphemous life. Now, I care about them, and I weep for them, and I want to see them come to know Christ. And I want to tell you, my dear friend, be you a homosexual or a lesbian, maybe you've been married, maybe you're living in some kind of relationship like this, and maybe planning to get married, please turn around. Please turn to Christ. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll make a new creature out of you. He'll set you free from the bondage of that. He will make you such a new person, and then you can have a reasonable, marvelous, and happy life. Now, I pray you will repent. I really do. Now, Pastor, this is a list of over 900 plus names of God in the Bible. This is a list of over 900 plus names of God in the Bible. Love this topic. Keep lifting Him up. He is our magnificent, glorious, awesome, spectacular, incredible, wonderful Lord Jesus, our Savior. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you. Thank you, Cherie. You know, over 900 names and titles of God in the Bible. I don't know why I never tried to look that up. But that's, you know, I'm going to go further into that, because I am going to be preaching all this year on the magnificent Christ. All this year. I'm going to be exalting Him in every way I can. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Will you help me lift Him up? Would every one of you out here call quickly and get this booklet, get on the phones. The ladies are standing by. I have no idea how many calls are coming in, but I pray a lot of them. And I want to send this to you. If you can want to, you can order by internet. Already have got that. And you are welcome to this free booklet. I want everybody across the globe, from here all the way to Australia, to have a copy of this book. I really do. This booklet, I should call it. I really do. And it is the magnificent Christ in all of His glory. And it's all about Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And those 40 picture words describing the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I want to get to some of that. You call quickly. The lines are open. We want to be a blessing to you. We really do. Let me try to read some of these names. It's hard to read them and get the real message. You need an explanation. The faithful witness. The faithful martyr. First begotten of the dead, Prince of the kings of the earth, that loved us, who washed us from our sins in His own blood. He's coming with clouds. Every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him. All kindred shall wail because of Him. He's Amen. Did you know He was the Amen? Oh, yes. He's called the Amen in the book of Revelation. I love that. The only book that I know that calls him the Amen is the book of Revelation. I could be wrong on that, but I never remember seeing it elsewhere. He's the great I Am. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Lord. He which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. That's 22 picture words that describe and identify the Lord Jesus Christ in that one book and one chapter of that one book. And let me give you 18 more. In the same first chapter of Revelation, his head and his hair was white like wool. His eyes was a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass. His voice is the sound of many waters. In his right hand were seven stars. Out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. This is John seeing the glorified Christ. The first 22 titles of him in Revelation 1 was about his incarnation when he was here as the God-man. But now he's been resurrected. He's been glorified. He's at the Father's right hand, and John is seeing him, and John is describing the appearance and the view of it all. And the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen again. Amen again has the keys of hell and of death. 40 different descriptive words of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And they're all listed here, and I'm going to send them to you. All you got to do is call, tell the ladies, I want a copy. If we already have your address, all they'll need is your name and zip. And if we don't have your address, please give them that. Hey, I want to talk and answer your question. I'm waiting on hearing from you. Anybody else there would like to give me a call? We'll try our best to answer. Now, let's talk about the service tonight. Emma Malum is a singing lady. A singing lady. Her singers with her are so harmonious. They sing with such harmony that I've always admired it. We're going to do a DVD of it tonight, Lord Happiness. And hopefully we'll get enough songs to make them available to you out here in our whole audience around the world. But really, hearing them live is what's exciting. Would you be here at 6 tonight and hear them sing? I've told him at least 4. I probably can talk him into a couple more. And I'd love to have you here to hear the Malum people sing. And then Joey Yates, my preacher. I'm telling you, Joey Yates is my preacher, man. He has grown in these years that I've known him, and such a marvelous speaker. And you will enjoy the service tonight. 6 o'clock, we're starting early so that we can, you know, not be too late getting you out and home so you can be in your Sunday school and church in the morning. Christians go to church on Sunday. Don't tell me I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in going to church on Sunday because I won't believe you. The Bible says that if you say you love me, this is Jesus talking, if you say you love me and you don't keep my commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Did you know the Bible said that? And did you know that keeping the Sabbath day holy is the 4th of the 10 commandments? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Not keeping it holy is not sitting around in a chair somewhere. It's not sitting in a chair somewhere. It is really keeping it holy. Well, let's take a call. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, preacher.
Hey.
My nephew visited me last weekend. He told me that if it is not in the bylaws of your church, get same-sex marriage, they can sue you if they want to join your church.
For what reason now?
He said if it's not in the bylaws of your church and the same-sex marriage wants to come in and join your church, you won't let them. You got to have it in the bylaws.
Well, I think he's wrong, but there's nothing wrong in it being in the bylaws, so maybe that's a good thought for every church to follow, is to go ahead and get it written, passed by the congregation. But see, my bylaws is in my hand. Do you see me? Are you watching me?
Okay.
Are you watching me?
Yeah.
All right, here's my bylaws. The Bible.
I want to go to church with gays.
See, when you got the Bible as your bylaws,
yeah.
There's no argument.
You're right.
See, okay. So I think it's wrong to say I've got to have them written in some kind of human words, in some kind of legal situation. This is our legal situation. We have this right, and nobody will ever take this away from me. I'll be glad to go to jail for it.
I will too. Goodbye.
Thank you for calling. God bless your heart. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Tame, was you talking about Jesus? I really like the part where it says, you know, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We can put our hope and trust and confidence in a God that will always exist and never change.
He's the first one resurrected from the dead, never to die again. There were several people in the Bible who died and they were raised to life. Beautiful miracles. But Jesus wasn't just raised to life. He absolutely defeated death in totality. If you would see him, he would look like the same Jesus who walked the shores of Galilee, who hung on the cross, except all of the blood and all of the terrible beating he'd had would no longer be visible. You would see the scars in his hand, and you would probably see little places in his brow, in his head, where the thorns had pierced him. But he would be glorious and beautiful and spectacular and magnificent, and it will be glory when you see him.
I just read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, says that he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Ain't that good to know? He's never ashamed of us.
Isn't that beautiful? When you've been born again, washed in the blood, he is not ashamed to call you brethren.
That's right.
I love you. I love you. Praise the Lord. Now call quickly. We're here to take any call that you will give us. I mean, negative. We love to take calls of people who don't agree with us, because I'm just glad to know you're listening. Because, you know, it may not be long until you would want to be even deeply involved in this. You understand? Very, very important. Now, I told you today I'm using a different camera because my regular camera somehow got all out of sync. I don't know how it happened. Let me give you a little picture here so you'll understand. You can see that I'm here and everything's okay, but there's just a little difference. When I stick up my finger, it takes about a second for the finger to appear. And I don't know how that happened, but I've got a man who knows what he's doing, and he's going to come and fix it this week, okay? So I'm glad to be here. I don't like being so close on you, and you know, this is a little more involved for me to try to watch you, but I'm just glad that you're part of this program, okay? I'm just glad you're part of the program. Now call us, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I got a question here on the book of Revelation. Will some live in New Jerusalem and others live in the holy city? Isn't that beautiful? Here's a question. Let's go. I want everybody out there now. This is one more controversial. Woo! I've lost people from the church over this one. They really have. I've lost people from the church over this one because they will get furious with you. Now, let me take you to Revelation. Very important. You got to go and read it. Let me make sure I find my place. Why am I not automatically there? Well, I'm here to tell you, it is very clear in the Bible that all the saved will live in the city. In the city, and I saw no temple there. Well, that's not the scripture. Now, I've always been able to go immediately to it. Until today, I mean, I'm just like the rest of you, getting older, and sometimes it don't come as quickly as it should come, but it is right here in the book. It says very clearly that all the saved will live in the kingdoms of the earth. But let me read Revelation 21 and 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. See, the only people in the city of New Jerusalem to live there, they can visit there, but the only ones to live there are those who literally are part of the rapture. People who go up after the rapture in the tribulation period, saved after the rapture, they cannot live in the city of New Jerusalem. They can live in the heavens and the earth, the new heavens and the new earth. It will absolutely be grand. It will absolutely be grand. And I've got here it is, Revelation 21 and 24. Listen to this. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, that's as clear as it needs to be. Let me read verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shed at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So you've got saved people, multitudes of them, that live in the new heaven and the new earth. But you've got the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ, that live in the city of New Jerusalem. That's going to be a good subject here in the short future. I can guarantee you that I'm stirring up some people out there, and I'm glad because of, you know, I hope I'm wrong. I'd like for everybody to live in the city of New Jerusalem. But why would there be a new heaven and a new earth if everybody lives in the city? Why? I mean, answer that question. Why would there be a new heaven and a new earth that is so broad and so big and so majestic that covers millions and millions and millions and millions of acres and millions and millions and millions of miles? And to say then nobody lives anywhere but in New Jerusalem? No. New Jerusalem is where the bride of Christ will live. In fact, the Jewish nation will continue to exist for eternity. And Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, not New Jerusalem, we know that'll be eternal, but earthly Jerusalem will be eternal. And the Jews will live there. And multitudes, I'm telling you, multitudes of the Jewish people will finally, the Bible says, be more numerous than the sands of the sea. Oh, friend, there's so much to learn about this Bible. And people get little narrow beliefs and feelings, and they get all caught up in that, and you can't move them off of it. Thank you for asking that question. Let me see who that was. Okay, sometimes people ask me questions just so I can be a little bit controversial, because I'm straight. This book says it, that settles it. If this book says it, that settles it. And when it says that saved of the earth shall dwell in the light of it, that's, you don't need anything else. I mean, take the Bible and take it literal, and then you give all you've got to be part of that bride. I wouldn't miss being part of the bride of Christ for nothing this world offers me. I've been serving him 63 years almost. I've had offers of every description. There are many people talk to me about being so narrow and so confined to just the literal truth in the Bible. You know, there are many saying now that the Bible is where God used to be, and that God is in the new revelations that are brand new things that are not written in the Bible. That's not true, friend. This is it. Forever the word is settled in heaven. The Bible says that. Forever the word is settled in heaven. You can't add to this Bible. You can describe it. You can try to enlighten people with it, but you don't add to the scripture. You don't add to the text, and you don't change anything. In fact, he said if you change anything in this book, he'll take your name out of the book of life. So don't you play with that. Oh, I love you today. Now, the magnificent Christ in all of his glory. Do you understand that? The magnificent Christ in all of his glory. There is nothing that matches the beauty of the Son of God. And I want to tell you, if Jesus could be put out, this whole earth would go dark immediately, instantly. There would be not a living soul left on the globe of this earth if Jesus could be destroyed and the light of Christ could be put out. He is the light of the world, the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the eternal Christ. Jesus is the glorious one. Jesus is the glorious one. When they pray the prayer, give the call of the Muslim, there is no God but Allah, it is a blasphemous statement. So the Duke University is now blaspheming the God of the Bible. the Duke University is blaspheming the God of the Bible when they allow this call to ring out on their campus grounds. They are blaspheming, whether it's done on the tower from the chapel or done in the front yard or the backyard or the basement, it's blasphemy. Do you hear me? It's blasphemy. And we must understand that. And when you champion same-sex marriage, you are signing your death warrant to hell, friend. When you champion same-sex marriage, you are signing your death warrant to hell. You are putting nails in your own casket, my friend. You are literally preparing yourself for an eternal hell. You can repent. I declare to you, you can repent. Whatever level you have gone to, whatever depth you've gone to, you can turn around and you can come back. I declare to you, you can turn around and you can come back. And I pray that you will. Now, it's been a joy to bring you this broadcast. I want to pray for America. Heavenly Father, I pray for the nation of America. I repent over the sin of the crowd at Duke University, those leaders who would make such a blasphemous decision. I repent over the judges and the people across America who have championed the idea of same-sex marriage, whether it be the White House or whether it be the church house, wherever it be that men have championed these things. I repent for them, and I pray they shall be forgiven. I pray for conviction. God, I don't want the judgment to come. I want the conviction to come. Father, I want conviction upon America. I'm not trying to judge America. I want to bring conviction to America. I'm not putting nobody down. I'm trying to bring conviction of the Bible that men and women will repent and turn to Christ. I pray that you will join me and pray and seek the face of God. I hope you'll be with me tonight at 6. Be with me tomorrow morning, Sunday school at 10, worship service at 11. I promise you, I will preach a word from God that will bless your soul. I'm going to preach on the magnificent Christ in all his glory. I'm going to do my best to show the glory of the Christ. The glory of the Christ. And service tonight is our replacement for tomorrow night. Just one time. You know, the biblical Sabbath begins at sundown. Did you know that? Sundown, the day before, or the day, it's not really the day before. That's the Genesis account, the morning and the evening, or the evening and the morning. I almost said it wrong. The evening and the morning was the first day. First day starts at 6 and ends at 6 the next evening. And so to have church on Saturday night is really biblical, but we're just doing it one time. We're not trying to champion something. We're just trying to worship God and give you a chance to be with us. There's a lot of good people out there that need to be with us tonight. You will not regret that you came. And hopefully you'll be here tomorrow morning and hear my sermon. Brother Joey Yates tonight, what a preacher, man. I love to hear him. And I love hearing Emma Milam and all of her sweet singers. They're just sweet singers of Israel. That's all I can say for them. That ought to be their new name, the Sweet Singers of Israel. And we'll make DVD and CDs of it, and we'll make them available to you. But in fact, we'll probably share some of it right here on the screen. We care about you, friend. You are important, and you are special to us. And I mean every word of that. You are special to us. Now, the number to call, 1-800-338-7884. Remember that now, 1-800-338-7884. And then remember, the toll-free number, 1-800. Now, I was given that, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want you to enjoy being with us. We love you. And then email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night. God of is still God in the night.